hear Trent McDuffie doing any chatter, any needless chatter.
No, he does it with his gameplay.
No, thank you.
Maybe the greatest collab video of all time when Ja'Marr Chase once said, none of them, actually. Or what do you say? None of them, honestly. Talking about the Chiefs secondary, and then Ja'Marr Chase would lose his cool because Trent McDuffie was all up in that Ja'Marr Chase kitchen. Penalty, 15 yards. Cincinnati, never been the same since. So best of luck to Mr. Trent McDuffie. Overall, your guys' reaction when you first saw the trade was?
Excited.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. that was if we're doing one word, right? Like, I was excited. Like, I wasn't upset. I wasn't depressed. We knew this was going to happen. Expected maybe is another word, you know, that we could have used in that situation. I'll be honest with you, Dusty. I think I would have been more upset and more disappointed if they didn't trade Trent McDuffie than that they did trade Trent McDuffie. And again, mm-hmm. that's nothing against the player. It's obviously nothing against the person at all. Just where this organization is right now, I thought that was best for this organization. That's what the good organizations do in order to stay on top, is that they constantly turn the roster over and they don't fall in love with the player. They fall in love with winning championships. And after a 6-11 season, big changes needed to be made, and you knew they would.
Mac, what was your reaction when you saw it break from Adam Schefter on Twitter?
Oh, this team got worse, man. Yeah, this team's screwed. Lost an all-pro player. Yeah, no dip, Craig. They've cut multiple guys and traded someone. They've stockpiled picks, and they've gained a bunch of cap space. That's another thing with this McDuffie trade. About $14 million saved on the cap. That's two players in free agency. That's two good players. That's one great player in free agency. That's another addition to this roster. You can now replace McDuffie with two solid players in free agency. And that's what they need right now. Of course, they need quality. They need good players, but they need quantity.
Yeah.
And Brett Veach has options. 9 versus 6. Not only is that, that's three more players, but maybe in the draft possibly, but it's also you can trade some of those picks. You can stockpile certain things. You can trade up, move down. Maybe you go get a mega player. We'll talk about, you know, different hypotheticals and different guys that could go out and get there. But now you have actual options and not going, okay, I really hope this 6th round defensive end hits because we are screwed if he's not there. Like, they have more money. They have more draft capital. This is how good teams operate. You draft someone, he plays really, really well. You don't pay him a lot of money, and you trade him to someone else so that he makes his bag, and you cash in.
I saw a quote from Les Snead, the Rams GM, yesterday. When you tweeted out your video yesterday about Snead, I'm like, what does Legarius have to do with this? And I remember, oh, yeah, that's right. Snead is the GM of the Rams. And it just took me a second there. I just, because I'm thinking quarterbacks and Snead and all this kind of stuff. And so I saw a quote by him yesterday, and it was basically to the effect of, we want to go into the draft with no holes. And I think that's an unbelievable kind of way to approach their free agency. Now, they're a lot further along than a lot of teams, but what if that was the Chiefs, you know, MO going into this draft right now without any holes? What if they were able to trade Trent McDuffie and, it's like you said, free up this $14 million, which could be two players, and now all of a sudden they get a running back in free agency, they get a wide receiver in free agency, they get a defensive lineman in free agency, and all of a sudden now you're talking about a team that, now that you hit the draft, okay, we're not drafting to fill holes. We're out here drafting right now to make our organization better, maybe so for 2027, 2028, and 2029, and we can kind of use that draft to build up for where we need to be in a couple of years and fix this team right now with free agents. And so you could potentially be going into the draft now with the opportunity to not have to fill holes, but more importantly, just to build roster depth and legitimately go out there and take the best player available, like they did in their first draft when they took Dee Ford. And we were all like, or the second draft when they took Dee Ford. You're like, why are you taking a guy like that when you have players at these positions, but you ended up needing him? You ended up needing that guy. Guys phase out. Guys move on. And so I think if you could fill your roster and fill your holes via maybe a trade, maybe via free agency before you hit the draft in 49 days, that's a really good way to kind of approach what's going to be happening over the next, you know, 5 days or so in the NFL world.
We move on to our guy, Nate Taylor, as he had his immediate reaction yesterday about the trade from Trent McDuffie to the Rams.
Yeah, better than expected, fellas. You know, I just put out some of my own sort of initial thoughts just on Twitter like a couple seconds ago. I think the biggest surprise in all of this is that it is the Chiefs acquiring 4 picks in exchange for Trent McDuffie. I was of the belief, even as early as last week, being in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine, that, hey, this was probably going to be, you know, one player for 3 picks, with the hope that, hey, it's going to be a first-round pick in this year and the likelihood of it being a day-two pick in 2027. Getting that additional fourth pick swings the pendulum in the Chiefs' favor, considering the fact that they only had six draft picks going into this year's draft. So a bit of a surprise that they were able to acquire four picks from the Rams when you really consider it, fellas, I don't honestly know who the Rams were bidding against, but if a team is willing to give you four picks and include a first rounder, and you know it's going to be difficult on your own salary cap sheet to sign Trent McDuffie to a long-term extension and cover up other areas on the roster, well, then it makes sense for both parties to make this decision.
So that Nate Taylor of ESPN, via Sam McDowell, because he kind of mentioned a little bit of this from the Kansas City Star. The Trent McDuffie trade came down to the Rams and the Giants. In the end, the Rams were the team willing to give the first round plus. So it was New York or it was L.A., and L.A. said, hey, we really need this. Like Bob had said, we don't really have a whole lot to fill, but this is basically it. We have to give it up, and then you trust Les Snead to kind of repatch this team after the Stafford era is done.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think this is it. Look, clout is what you need in the draft, and there's one thing that's always kind of like when Brett Veach is tombstone in Kansas City is done, it will literally be like, here lied Brett Veach, right? Number one love, draft picks.
Yeah.
Like, he's just always done that because that's his way of playing poker. Other people's is free agency. Howie Roseman's is trades, right? Like, he'll trade, get picks with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Veach is like, well, if you can give me, like, you know, eight picks per draft, nine picks per draft, I'll make it work with at least, you know, two to three guys on this roster. So look, and I thought Nick Wright said it perfectly yesterday when he was like, this was basically 85% of the exact trade they got for McDuffie for the Tyreek Hill deal.
Yeah.
And it is basically kind of the same thing. Now, again, at the time, Mahomes was younger, and you weren't going to give Tyreek Hill that much money. You had thought at the time Tyreek Hill had given you everything that Tyreek Hill possibly could have ever given you, and it was probably going to be over soon. I mean, I don't know if it's over, but it ain't the same, and it was good for 1 year. It was 1 year where you're like, damn, dude, Tyreek Hill might set the wide receiver yardage record.
Mm-hmm.
He still got it, and he's doing it with Tua.
And that was, what, 2022?
It was the year. Yeah, the very next year.
Right, you're next, like, year. Here it is, 2026.
Right, and so
you're too early.
Exactly. And so, yes, it might be that way next year when you see Trent, because guess what, fellas? We play the Rams next year.
Yeah.
And there might be, you know, like, oh, great, yeah, now Trent McDuffie has three interceptions in a season.
Well, the Chiefs are so predictable on offense, he's going to know everything that's coming anyway, right?
Right. So, like, I think that when you – and I thought Mahomes' tweet basically summed up the entire kingdom of Chiefs fans, which was just damn.
Damn.
Because normally Patrick Mahomes' tweets are on an alarm clock or the dude writing the notes, Ryan from The Office, or it's, you know, time to get to work, and that's it. Or it's like family stuff, right? Like, that's all it ever is. That was like pure emotion from A1 day one leader Patrick Mahomes. So I do believe, as we continue this conversation all morning long, that there is going to have, or there will be having those feelings. Like, dad texts me like, is this a good trade? Like, I feel, you know, like terrible losing McDuffie. I'm like, I understand that. But to gain, you have to give. And we've said that before, like he had mentioned with the Royals in the past. Like, what if we give him a Bañez? They'd give us, like, you know, no.
We're not getting Chris Sale for a Bañez, okay?
Or
it's just not happening.
Trading Alec Marsh for Aaron Judge in MLB The Show. Mac,
yeah,
unfortunately,
right.
That's just video.
That's not
games.
Happening, yeah. Not going to do that.
Works but for me. Got Yamamoto, too.
Yeah, right. It works in video games. But that, see, that's the problem, though. People live in a fantasy football, fantasy video game world.
Pete Crow Armstrong's really good.
You used a term there that you said a year early with Tyreek Hill. And you are absolutely right. If they had waited one more year on Tyreek Hill, we would not have three Super Bowl champion or two more Super Bowl championships, because Trent McDuffie was such a big part of that. I mean, that whole draft class was such a big part of that next wave of winning a couple of more Super Bowls. If they would have waited on Tyreek Hill, they got out right at the right time. And that's what you have to look at Trent McDuffie, too. He's played 4 years already in the NFL. The average lifespan of an NFL football player is 3.5, right? So he's already exceeded that average lifespan. He's getting ready to get paid for his second contract. I mean, the Chiefs maximized that. I keep saying, like, to me, like, he is, like, the perfect player that's ever played here. I mean, they maximized that player to the fullest. They won championships. He's all pro. And then they traded him, and they got four draft picks back in return. And that's why I take the old Seinfeld approach for this. we're cheering for laundry, guys. At the end of the day, we're rooting for the KC on the side of the helmet. We're rooting for the red jerseys, the white pants, the yellow piping. We're rooting for our team, right? That's who we root for. We root for laundry, as Jerry Seinfeld said. And that's the way that I've approached it now. It's not necessarily about those individuals because they come and go. We have favorite players that come and go all the time. But that team is always here. They're not going anywhere. They're always going to be ours. And so I want to do always what's best for this team to win. And one player, so yeah, at the quarterback position can make an obvious difference, but a player at a defensive back position where you've been really good at drafting, developing, signing, finding defensive backs, I think they're going to be okay. I know they're going to be okay. And I love the fact that Brett Veach now has an arsenal of draft picks that he could trade for proven players, use to move up in the draft, use to, you know, maybe get some picks in next year's draft. The world is his oyster, literally, right now. He can do anything that he wants because of that trade with Trent McDuffie. They've gotten so many more opportunities. And I think I saw something yesterday. They now have like the top five in draft capital or something
They're fourth in draft capital.
Fourth in draft capital.
In the NFL.
Yeah. So all of a sudden now.
Most they've had since 2008.
I mean, all of a sudden, this team now is a top four, you said, team in draft capital for an organization that historically drafts pretty darn good. The rest of the league's looking around and going, oh my God. The Chiefs are now top five in draft capital. Uh-oh. Look out. They can really reshape their roster. And
rosters, it's top four.
Okay. I'm sorry. Top four. The Chiefs, like every team, you just kind of constantly reshape your roster in the NFL. No. This is what happens. I love it. I'm excited. I mean, this is really what you should be doing with your star players. Get them in, maximize them, and then maximize them at the way out the door. It was the perfect way to handle a player that we saw with Trent McDuffie. Probably will never happen again, but it was the perfect way. I mean, I can't think of a more perfect scenario for the way that things played out with Trent McDuffie, the way that we saw it.
And I think it's fair to say, okay, well now, fellas, we have a team that has a massive amount of holes and we just self-inflicted wounded another one because you got rid of your all-pro slot corner. What's that mean for the future of the secondary? Well, Nate Taylor said a familiar name.
It's definitely in the ballpark now, and the Chiefs now have a chance to prioritize which of the two guys in the secondary they would like to retain the most. Is that Brian Cook, who I think is, you know, one of the top safeties on the market? Or, hey, because you, again, drafted and developed Jalen Watson, would you swing back around and say, hey, I know it sucks that we couldn't keep you and Trent McDuffie, but we would love to have you back. We know it can work between you, Noel Williams, and Christian Fulton. Again, if it doesn't work out with either Brian Cook or Jalen Watson, the Chiefs at least understand, hey, we have the ninth pick, we have our second-round pick, and we have the 29th pick now to identify a third cornerback for a Noel Williams, Christian Fulton, whoever that player is next. You can say alongside, obviously, Christian Roland Wallace. But there's a chance now. There's a legitimate chance. And, it'd be fascinating to know within the Chiefs' own thought process who they value more. I would tend to think Brian Cook because the safety position really is the heartbeat of Steve Spagnuolo's secondary, but I can understand from a positional value why you would want to keep Jalen Watson, given he's such a good press man coverage defender and he's improved so much within zone that he actually works pretty well in Spagnuolo's system too.
So another thing that went maybe under the table yesterday is that the Chiefs announced, I think, that they plan, maybe they didn't announce it, but somebody might have, that they are going to restructure Chris Jones's contract.
Yeah, there was some rando that reported that yesterday, who I'd never heard of that guy before.
We'll figure that out as the days go along, because we don't really know if if it's credible or not. But if that's the case, that creates money.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've given Brett Veach draft capital and you've given him capital as well. So
it was Evan Sittery.
Have you ever heard of that guy?
I think we brought him up yesterday with another tweet he had, but I can't remember what it was. Maybe he was the one that was floating around like Chiefs trade McDuffie to the Rams for 29 and Corum, I think might have been that guy's tweet.
What's his name again?
Evan Sittery? Sittery?
There was a Dr. Sitterini's on Seinfeld. I don't know if this guy's related to him or what, but I'd never heard of this gentleman before. Yeah. But that tweet makes sense that he's talking about. Obviously,
but now you do have the question, do you bring Brian Cook back? Because what does that say for the safety market if he's one of the top? Now, maybe I'm undervaluing Brian Cook.
But I was going to ask you guys, who if you have one, Watson or Cook, who you going after?
Jalen Watson.
Watson, yes!
I think so as well. And I that would be my initial, you know, kind of reaction to that one.
The reason why I say that is because, like, I have noticed Jalen Watson more than I have noticed Brian Cook. Does that make sense? Like, on the field.
Well, yeah. And I go back to what we've been talking about
that
for the last...
That could be a good thing.
True.
It could be a bad thing, too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I also go back to what we've been kind of talking about since Justin Reed left here. They lost that leader at that safety position. And Nate Taylor said that Brian Cook is good enough for the SPAG system or whatever he said, talking about, you know, Brian
the
Cook.
The safety position is like the heart and soul.
The heart and soul. And then he said, you know, he said about Brian Cook, he's good enough for the SPAG, or however he phrased it at the end there. Yeah, but you're right. The heart and soul of that defense. Is Brian Cook the right heart and soul of this defense with the way that this defense played last year? Because I think, from obviously, you know, having some conversations with folks, they really missed the leadership of Justin Reed back there. We've talked about that. That's been discussed on the show ad nauseum. And so the guy that they replaced Justin Reed with was Brian Cook. Did that guy give you enough of what you need out of that position in a Spags defense to bring him back? I'm asking. I don't know the question, but I know there wasn't enough from a lot of people's perspective of that leadership role from that safety position, which is part of the reason why Trent had a little bit, I believe, a down year, because they were asking him to be the leader. That's not his personality. Is Brian Cook the right guy to be that heartbeat like Tyrann Mathieu, like Justin Reed? I don't know the answer to that question, guys. Maybe you guys have a better insight than I do on that one, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like Max said, I'm kind of, you know, fickled in my mind with it. Like, if not noticing him is good, but as a safety, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because how many times do we hear about Kyle Hamilton or something like that? Like, there he is.
Yeah.
But corner, you don't want to hear his
name,
right?
Hear
like, that's a good thing. But safety, I'm like, I kind of want to know, because, like,
I want that guy coming up and laying the wood to somebody, man, you know, at the line of scrimmage. And we didn't see that at all, really, this year, did we?
I mean, I think...
Not like we did in years past with Tyrann and Justin, though.
No, gosh, no.
Right?
No. Gosh, no.
Yeah.
No, because that was almost McDuffie's role.
Yeah.
When that was like his move. Like, I always, that's like, we could do this all day and be like, you know, memorable moments of Trent McDuffie. Josh Allen getting sacked and not knowing it because 22, it was on the line and Josh Allen couldn't read it. And it's like, there he goes, right?
Leads the league in QB hits in the last 5 years among
sick,
corners.
Yeah. What a great stat to have as a corner, too.
Yeah, it is.
But again, yesterday with all this news that, you know, came out with the trade talk, all of a sudden everybody starts going to their keyboards and being like, hypothetical, you know, Harry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we going to do here? Do you think that the Chiefs will now take, because what I saw immediately, I don't know what you guys saw because everybody's algorithm's different, but what I saw immediately after the trade was out was this now frees up cap space for the Chiefs to go land Kenny Walker.
Hmm. So gives you the if that's the guy that's on your list,
and they said that Kenny Walker is going to demand a high amount of money, and then a lot of people are like, "There's no way I'm paying a running back this much money. Yeah. That this guy wants this much, so whatever." Because I think he'd be like, he's looking to be like maybe the third highest running back in football.
12 to 15 million is where I've seen.
That's a tough contract.
I am 100%, 1,000,000%, 10,000,000% out on Kenny Walker. Yeah, I just have too many visions of. He had a great Super Bowl. We remember that. He's going to get overpaid. He's going to come to a new team, and he's not going to deliver. And whatever fan base is talking about that albatross of a contract for the next couple of years. I just kind of, that's my opinion, man. And I could be 100% wrong on that one. But as far as Kenny Walker goes, man, I am so far out on overpaying the Super Bowl tax for a running back.
Yeah, I just think there are running backs who are almost just as good or maybe even better than him for half the price. I think Kenneth Walker is going to make a boatload based off the last 6-7 weeks of the NFL season, pretty much. I mean, that running game was not... We like to talk about that offense being immaculate the whole season. It wasn't. It had struggles, especially in the middle of the season with Charbonnet, with Walker. The last 4 weeks, 3 weeks of the regular season into the playoffs, Walker caught a heater. They started running the ball more. He looked good. But yeah, I'm not taking that for signing him for what, third or fourth highest paid running back money. Hell no.
You just got out of a cornerback because you didn't want to pay, right? This organization is not an organization under Brett Veach, as you pointed out earlier with, you know, John Dorsey just spending money. That would be some sort of signing that John Dorsey probably would have made, right? And I'm not trying to talk smack on John because he did a great job here. But that's the kind of move he would make, or maybe a Pioli would make. I don't know that Brett Veach is going out there and overspending on a middle-aged, by NFL standards, running back that's coming off a hot streak at the end of the season. That's where teams get into trouble, is when they go out and they pay these guys that are coming off a hot streak for the last month and a half of the season. Everybody saw them perform in the playoffs. They get a big check, and you never hear from these guys again.
So we'll do hypotheticals all day. I'll give you one more before we go to a break. You each have 20 seconds on yes or no and why. With the running back hot streak and Jordan Love, do you trade knowing that he will go probably top
Jeremiah
five?
Love.
Jeremiah Love. Do you trade up with picks 9 and 29 to maybe Tennessee to try to get Jeremiah Love?
I don't think I do.
Hell no.
I don't think I do that move at all. I would rather have 9 and 29 and to package those together than to move. I think you can get two really good players. You can get two of the top 29 players in this draft.
Yeah, there's absolutely 0% chance I'm doing that for a running back. Again, we need quantity. We did this to gain more assets. We're bragging about draft capital right now. You don't trade two of the best picks of that capital to go get a running back. If anything, if I'm packaging picks, that guy's name better start with J.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And with last McCarthy. Name start with?
Yeah.
Starts with a J as well. Or there's another one down in Dallas that we could potentially go get
absolutely.
As well. I mean, you know.
We'll get into more of those today. Mac, please stop yelling at me and getting mad. Those were hypotheticals from the internet. You're making me feel insecure. Coming up on the other side, Chris Jones restructure, maybe. We see what that does, as well as more than just draft capital. It goes to the money. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.